Today's a special morning for many reasons. We get to be together as a family. We get to have more family members with us than usual. Welcome, grandparents, uncles, aunts, others who are part of here to support your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, as they're dedicated to the Lord this morning. Dedication does not just happen of the child. It's a dedication on our part, as parents, as grandparents, as uncles and aunts, as a church family, to stand with those parents and their desire to train up a child in the ways of the Lord, that they would know his heart, know his pleasure over them, taste of his goodness, and bring glory to him. So don't check out this morning. You're all part of this. And I honor you family members who have come this morning, because this is much more than witnessing an event. This is saying, I'm with you. I believe in what you're doing. I'm going to support you. When we were singing that song this morning, I don't know the name of it, but the one about his kingdom coming, that there was one line that really stuck out to me. It says, awake the kingdom seed in us. Can you catch that line? Awake the kingdom seed in us. All life and all truth begins with a seed. You don't get the full portion. You get a seed. And it's got to be nurtured. It's got to be cared for. And it's going to grow up into something beautiful. And it's going to manifest the glory of God by its designed purpose that was all there, packed in from the very beginning. We have the seed of Christ in us. And there's a call this morning. Will I be part of nurturing and bringing that to fruition, which has already been given? Children are a gift from God. They are his greatest gift. Here, we're up already. Psalm 127. And you're going to hear me talk about some verses that I love talking about, because I love talking about this. So we're going to hit them again and again. And I'm going to say things over and over again until it sinks deeper and deeper and deeper into you. Because this stuff is awesome. Amen. It's a privilege. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior. You are equipped. You've been given the weapons to accomplish something. And we're going to talk about what we're going to accomplish and where we're going to go. Our children born in one's youth, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. It's a blessing from God. Jesus said, this is a good verse, guys. This is a good verse. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. He's telling us that he greatly, greatly values the children. He's telling us to partner with him. Let them come. You have a part to play in allowing them to come and experience that same father heart that he has given to you, for them to see it, to taste of it, to nurture them, so that they know it as well. Let them come. Do not hinder them. You know, I've shared my story before, but I had a moment when God just spoke so clearly to me. I didn't want to intentionally hinder my children from coming to him. But he just cut to the heart and said, Daniel, what are you doing with your time? Do you realize that you're so absorbed with your own life? What you want to accomplish, your job, your ministry, that it is a hindrance to your children experiencing the Father heart of God. Our busyness, our self-observation can be a hindrance. And we need to give them freely to God and say, in the midst of all that busyness, all the things you're calling me to do, how can I walk with my children? How can I include them? Not put them to the sidelines and say, when you're old enough, when you're this, when you're that, then. There's a clue here. We as a church cry out, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Now, here. Amen, Lucas. Preach it. Yes. He's got it. It doesn't just tell us to let him come. It tells us to become like them. It's simple in their minds. I got a strong daddy. I got a father. He's going to take care of me. It's simple. You got a strong father. It's not just a cute thing to become like the children. It's more than that. Do you know who your daddy is? Do you know that he's strong enough, that he's big enough, that he is going to take care of you? Do you have faith like a child? Will you step out in his loving arms and believe that? We have an opportunity to impress that truth upon our children each and every day with every word and every choice we make. Thank you, Braun family, for what you shared. With every word and every choice we make, we can impress the Father heart on our children. When we succeed, we can talk about it. When we fail, we can talk about it. Bring him back, just like he brings us back. This is how it works. This is what Daddy says. And how we intentionally bring our children along on this journey is no side issue. I want you to hear that. How we intentionally bring our children along on this journey is no side issue. It's not something you think about after you've done everything else in the day. It's something you get up first thing in the morning and you think about how you're going to incorporate into your day. Or it will not happen. And it is the very future for us, for life. And I just want to give a few little quotes to bring this home. Whoever influences our children will rule the world, someone says. I'm going to tell you, around the world, we have media, we have business, we have government, we have schools all fighting for control of our children because they know this. They know this, and they're going to start from a very young age. We have a part to play here. The future of any movement is determined by its ability to train children to become like them. True. The training of children by fathers and mothers will ultimately determine the success or failure of the church in any given generation. That's where it's at. And the condition of the church ultimately determines the success or failure of society in any given generation. Proverbs 22:6, you all know this one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. What I'm trying to say, and I'm not going to talk long today, I'm going to talk for another 10 minutes, and then we're going to get into child education, but I am going to talk, not just because I like to, because I believe this is important. What we believe about our responsibility as parents and as a church related to bringing up our children is one of the most important things to settle in expanding the kingdom of God. What we believe about our responsibility to intentionally bring up our children is one of the most important things to settle and expanding the kingdom of God. So, we're going to take a quick look at Psalm 78. I love Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things you have heard, things that you know, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell them to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob. He established a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Today I will choose to take the responsibility to train my children in the Lord. As for me and my house, we will. That's a choice we all have to make. That's a choice we make as a church. We have been told. We have a legacy. We have heard and we do know. Will we take that responsibility on ourselves and say, it starts here? I will. I will. Wow. I wow. At it. In our modern church, we must discover the mindset of thinking generationally. Rediscover it. Every Christian seems to see himself as a bridge generation. We're not just here for us in the now. We're a bridge to something in the past, and we're going to something in the future. And how we live in the present will determine what the future looks like. We're fathers and mothers, both physical and spiritual. Use every walk and circumstance of life as an opportunity to transfer legacy of faith to their children. That's our call. We're to transfer the legacy of faith to our children. You know, I'm picking on my children. I love you guys. Every night I pray that your passion would be for God, that you would know his purpose in your life, that you'd come alive with it, that that would be what you're about. Every night. I want that for you. And when we sit around the supper table, you know, my parents have both passed away. They passed out my mother before my kids were born. My parents, when my children were young, but they remember their grandfather. Everyone but Grace, maybe, because you were a little bit young. But when we sit around the supper table, we talk about Grandpa's life. We talk about the adventures we had. We talk about what he did as a young man. We talk about his choice to follow God. We talk about the miracles that God did in his life. And I see my kids grow. They lean in. They grow an inch or two right there in that chair. Because they're connected. They're connected. And God is connecting their hearts with the eternal purposes of God. What he has done in their own flesh and blood. That they have a part to play. That they're connected with history of God's overarching plan. And life becomes exciting. It becomes full. I'm not just watching from the sidelines. I'm not just living to fill my own needs. No, I have a part to play in the history. From the very beginning, when the seed was there. And it's growing and it's growing. It's going to grow to completion until he comes back, until his return. And I have a part. And what I do will determine what will come next. Wow. I'm alive. I'm alive now. This is real. Whew. It's good stuff. Okay. Where am I? Oh, this was what I wanted to say. This is good, so I'm just going to back up and do it as it is on the paper. They're part of a larger story now when they hear what's happened in their previous generational life, and something awakens inside them when they have a part to play. And here's what I wanted to say. There's a whole host of witnesses. Your grandfather is cheering you on right now. And he's saying, go, go, go Benjamin, go Owen, go Emma, go Grace. Do you see? He's cheering you on. From Adam to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Moses to Joshua to Deborah to Gideon to David to Solomon, to Elijah, to Elijah, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Malachi, to John the Baptist, to Jesus, to Peter, to Paul, to Jason, to Rachel, to Owen, to Seth. He's saying, go! 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 His kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We're part. We're part of that cloud of witnesses. We get to enter in. It's so good. So good. So we stand at attention. We throw off every hindrance. And we fix our eyes on the prize. What did Jesus say? He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God. And he's inviting us to partner with him in the same way, to walk with him in the same way. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we are to live by faith, die by faith, and pray that the legacy would carry on in our children and they would take it further and further than where we could be able to take it ourselves. That's the way he does it. That's what he wants us to join in to. So here's something I want you to remember. Verse 7. This is what God wants. He wants the children not to forget that they would put their trust in God, not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And I'm not going to read all of it, but it comes down to talking about Israel, the men of Ephraim, talking about the Israelites. They were armed with bows. They turned back in the day of battle. Why? Had the most powerful weapon, I've talked about this before, available to them in that day and age, but they turned back because of fear, because they forgot who their God was. They forgot how mighty he was. They forgot this big, strong daddy. So they turned back in fear. And we cannot let our children forget the miracles, the wonders of a God in heaven. So this morning I want to challenge us that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, that his commands would be on our heart, and that as we get up in the morning, as we go about our day, as we do our work, as we do the laundry, as we serve the meals, as we come home from work, as we think about what we want to do that evening, that we would remember our God and include our children and teach them his wonders, his goodness, and his love with every opportunity that we have. Okay, is that good? Are you in? Should we do it? Parents of Asher, of Sam and Isabel, of Lucas and of Henry, would you come on up with your children? Grandparents, if you want to come, join them, feel free. Maybe we'll put two families on this side and two on this side. Keep it enough space for everyone. Awesome. This is Lucas. Yes. This is Henry right here. Hi, Henry. And we're missing someone. Asher, is Asher here? Oh, they're coming. They're coming. I think. Yeah, there we go. This is Sam. This is Isabel. And Asher is coming right now. Awesome, Asher. Hi, Asher. Parents, I want you to know when you're dedicating your child to Christ, there is no sweeter, no safer place that he can be than in his care. No safer and sweeter place that he can be. And I'm going to ask you just some questions. Actually, one question. Rory's here now. Awesome. And then we're going to ask the congregation for a little bit of involvement. So let's start here. Chris and Lorinda and Grandma, you can join in too if you want. Do you recognize Sam and Isabel as a gift from God? And is it your desire that they would know the Father's heart and experience the fullness of what God has for them? Awesome. Awesome. Rory and Katrina, do you recognize Asher as a gift from God? And is it your desire that he would know the Father's heart and experience the fullness of what God has for him?
Absolutely, we do.
Yes. Awesome. Dan and Jackie, do you recognize Lucas as a gift from God? Yes.
Yes.
You're right there. And is it your desire to give him back to God and see the fullness of all that God has for him in his life? Amen. Amen. Ian, Nikki, do you recognize this young man, Henry, as a gift from God? And is it your desire to see the fullness of God in him? Amen. Amen. Now we've heard from all of the families. Now I want to just speak to you as a congregation real quickly. We've talked about being a family. We've talked about not standing alone. And we have the privilege to come alongside as spiritual uncles and aunts. And I want to give you an opportunity to verbalize that. So, ask yourself these questions. Will these children hear the stories of Jesus in our lives? Will they see his word lived out? Will they be encouraged to walk by faith? Will they receive forgiveness and grace when they fall? Will they know the wonders and miracles and provisions of God? If your answer is yes to those questions, would you please stand? And we're going to read this pledge together. Oh, I need that same PowerPoint I had up with the scripture verses. I got one final slide on there. Oh, you had it and I clicked it off, I think. Last slide. Are you going to click there? There. Are you ready? Let's read it together. You have offered your child to the strong and loving arms of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and sincerity to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to provide a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make this calling both joyful and fruitful. Amen. 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 I like you. Okay, you can sit down. What? Stay here for a minute. What we want to do is I'm going to have a little slideshow with all the kids up there because that's super cute. And there's going to be a song, and I want to come by and pray over each one of your children. It's a 3-minute song. As soon as those 3 minutes are over, then the service will officially be over. There's no more things that are going to happen. But for all of you who are able and want to stay and join in, we're going to play a second song, and then I invite all of you to come up and surround these families, lay hands on the kids, if you have a prayer or a word for any of them, And we're just going to let the music play, and you can keep ministering to them. And when it's done, it's done. There will be no official ending of the service after that. So one song, when the second song starts, you guys just come up. You're going to want to watch the slides during the first song. Here we go.